The Lord of the harvest is calling for laborers to till his field. To gather the sheaves of the carries, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, of heavenly manna we're fed, while souls on the ocean in darkness are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, they're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide. The Savior has
the mission trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. Let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, they're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. A cheerful greeting to all the listeners of radio station XEG. We hope that each of you are well and happy tonight, wherever you may be hearing this broadcast. This is Willie Murphy coming to you again with another gospel message for our weekly visit. In case you should desire to write us, address your correspondence to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. We appreciate those who have been helping us to make this program possible each week. This broadcast tonight begins our third year on radio station XEG. Consider now the text found in Genesis 13, verses 12 and 13. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now in the book of Genesis, we read the story of how God called Abram from among his people with the promise which God gave him that he would make of him a great nation. Along with Abram went Lot, his nephew. Things went well with them, and no doubt Lot received many blessings just because he accompanied Abram upon the journey which God called him to make. But as time went on, their flocks and herds were increased, and it seemed as if a separation became necessary to keep peace among their herdsmen. Abram gave Lot the choice of the land. Listen to what Abram said when he made this very liberal offer to his nephew Lot. In Genesis 13, and beginning with verse 9, we read, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. You see, Lot chose to pitch his tent in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah because it was a well-watered valley and the grass for his cattle was more plentiful. But here is what Lot found. Sodom was a wicked place, and the people were steeped in sin and filthy habits. Sodom is often used as a symbol of unrighteousness. The people in that city were exceedingly wicked. Now, of course, I believe that Lot had a desire to do right. But, friends, I want to point out to you that sometimes it's a little hard for one to hold their standard of living where it should be when they are surrounded on every hand by those who have completely thrown away their self-respect and morals. Let me show you what Lot lost by the choice he made. He lost the spiritual environment of his uncle Abram. He saw his family choose the ways of the Sodomites, and ultimately he lost his possessions, his wife, and in fact, had it not been for the pleading of Abram with the angel of God, it is possible that Lot might have been destroyed with the city. Friends, let us bring this application a little nearer home. We're living in a time and age of much wickedness. Many people seem to have forgotten God. They seem to have forgotten the ancient landmarks which their fathers have left. We're presently surrounded by people who spend their time and money upon the habits of life which are folly. Take, for instance, the use of tobacco. We understand from a report in Reader's Digest of November 1966 that the tobacco industry spends $240 million each year for advertising alone. Imagine this, if you can, my friend. If $240 million is spent for advertising, think of the tremendous sales which would have to be made on tobacco to pay such an advertising bill. Then there's another evil which is a plague to any nation, and that is the use of alcoholic beverages. In other words, beer, wine, and whiskey. Results of this habit, which so skillfully finds its way into homes of every class, are staggering. Our highways are strewn with wrecks and the bodies of those who are killed by drinking drivers. Then there is the use of tranquilizers, pills, and narcotics, which are becoming more widely used by the boys and girls of school age and men and women in many walks of life. Then, would you not say that many today are pitching their tent more and more toward Sodom? We're plainly told in the Scriptures that in the last days iniquity shall abound, and because of this fact the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, many will depart from the truth and be overcome by the wickedness which is so prevalent. But here's a cheering thought. You have the power of choice. God has granted to us the privilege to choose which way we shall go in life. If you want to avoid living in Sodom, then I would say do not pitch your tent in that direction. If it is your choice to live a sober and righteous life and avoid the dangers of alcohol, tobacco, and other evils, then refrain from their use before they fasten themselves about your life and become a part of you. Yes, it may appear to an individual that the use of these habits will bring pleasure and delight, but I want to tell you that the road which you will travel is the downward road. The path of evil is always down. Another thing which might be of importance to those of you who are parents, remember, you are setting an example for your children to follow. Are you willing for your children to live as you live? Are you setting before them an example which you would be pleased for them to follow? Live in such a manner that you will not be ashamed for your sons and your daughters to live as you live, to walk as you walk. and to speak the words which they hear you speak. Remember, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Listen now to the poem entitled, Some Things I Saw en Route, by Ulysses S. Phillips. I've traveled through this land a bit, o'er valleys, plains, and hills. I've seen a lot of sights and things, and I've had several thrills. I've been to Tallahassee and Cincinnati, too. I've crossed the Rocky Mountains and scanned the ocean blue. I went through Tucumcari and crossed the desert sand. I've seen storms and cyclones sweeping through the land. I've seen a few skyscrapers, been in a wreck or two. I've seen dying mothers and weeping children, too. Some things I saw and heard en route that made me heave a sigh were fair young women cursing by the name of God on high. And by this they marred their beauty and spoiled their once good name, disrespecting the Creator by taking His name in vain. Oh, Marjorie, stop your cursing, you, Susie, Jane, and Anne, for on your linguistics God surely placed a ban. It is awfully depressing to hear a woman cuss, or see her smoking cigarettes and raising a lot of fuss. She's supposed to be a lily or a star to guide us right, but when she stoops to cursing, it is sure an awful sight. No nation rises higher than the women in its land, so girls, against all cursing, you should boldly take a stand. The Creator has one standard for the women and the men. All those whose hearts are right with God abstain from the cursing sin. A bobbed-haired cursing Annie and a swearing Marjorie and a blue-streaked talking Fanny is a bit too much for me. The Bible warns against it in a holy solemn strain, and all will be held guilty who take God's name in vain. You'd better stop your cursing Rosalie and Mary Ann, because in that great morning before God you must stand and answer for your conduct and hear what He will say. To all ye cursing women, depart from me for a. Then ye will go down crying, no, not for beer nor rum, but for a drop of water to cool your cursing tongue. Let us spend a moment in prayer. Our Father, as we lift up our eyes and look on the fields, we're well aware that God needs workers who will be true examples to those who are pitching their tents toward Sodom. Give us wisdom, understanding, and skill that we may speak and act in such a manner that it may cause Thy name to be glorified through Christ our Savior. Amen. Listen now to the song, Careless Soul, as sung by the Carver Quartet.
Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by, and your life is spent in folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, yes, your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, oh, how sad to face the judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God.
Friends, I hope that those of you who hear this broadcast tonight will take warning, and that when your turn comes to leave this world, you will not go unprepared to meet God. Until next Friday night at 10:45, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be yours, each and every one, and a very pleasant good night.